Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the show. My name is Nick Reed. I am your host. Everyone say hello to Sarah Myers. She's the producer of this show. You can say hi back to him.
I just started like eating cereal right when you did that.
Well, that was an inopportune time.
I know.
Was it you that was telling me that you grew up having water instead of milk and
I'm
cereal?
I'm lactose intolerant.
I would be cereal intolerant then. That's just disgusting.
Now I just eat cereal without, like, anything.
I've never, not that I've paid attention, but so, you don't eat ice cream? You don't eat any of that stuff, man?
I mean, I do, but I suffer later.
Does it make your tummy hurt? Is that what it does? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm trying to finish this before I do news.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, I'm going to keep you talking just it's inconvenient. What cereal are you eating?
Reese's Puffs. The Breakfast of Champions. Dr. Thunder.
Never. Well, you might as well use that for water or milk, Dr. Thunder.
I'm not a very healthy individual.
Well, I wouldn't worry too much. Cereal, I never really wanted to eat.
I'm so, the same way.
Yeah, it just didn't appeal to me. I didn't want to do it. We would have chocolate malt meal sometimes.
Oh, if yeah. It was, yeah. I would have that all the time.
Oh, so you would have...
Yeah, I could have that because it was a good source of like calcium.
And then on real special days, Mom would make, with mini marshmallows, a smiley face on it. And I would always eat around those marshmallows. That way I could have them for... That's how I was. I always saved the best for last. Cereal-wise... Star Crunch cereal, which most people don't remember. I think it was called Star Crunch, but it was the Swedish Chef from the Muppets. You can see the old commercials on YouTube. He's my all-time favorite Muppet ever, is Swedish Chef, and I love that cereal. Fruity Pebbles. I liked Fruity Pebbles because they didn't get soggy so quickly, as I remembered it. But other than that, I don't know that I really. Remember for a while, Rice Krispies had a little version of like they were mini Rice Krispie treats. They were clumps of Rice Krispies held together by sugar or marshmallow. Those were good. So anyway, if this is the first time you've ever listened to the show, this is what it is for 3 hours every day. It's very benign, low-key nonsense. Remember Brix? Dr. Brix, she was generally backseat to Fauci. She's got a new book coming out, so she's doing the rounds, and she is claiming, among other things, that, if Trump had done things properly, it would have saved more than 130,000 people. So in other words, this is something she has told members of Congress that more than 130,000 people died unnecessarily because of Trump. Okay, we'll get into the realistic component to this, if it exists at all. Answer is no. Right now, Sarah does have the latest news. Did you get cereal out of your mouth?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right.
Prepped and ready.
The news.
Well, the Christian County Sheriff's Office is investigating a string of mail thefts in Billings. One victim was able to share a home surveillance video of the crime. In the video, a suspect in a white car pulls up to the victim's mailbox and takes the mail out of the box. Christian County Sheriff's Office says the investigation is currently ongoing.
Is this mail as in gender?
No, as in, as in like, you've got mail.
Okay.
But not
I didn't know if somebody's going
not
around.
Not like email.
I didn't know if somebody's going around stealing boys and men.
No. Mail. And that's going to get worse as we get closer to Christmas.
Yeah, people looking for Christmas gifts that they can't buy.
Although, I don't know why people do that because they've got all those like Ring doorbells now and
yeah.
You just get caught.
You know, the thing, this is not against Ring doorbells at all. I have a security system. It's just a different sort of one. But every time I watch Ring doorbells, people will post, right? They'll be like, oh, hey, if anybody knows this person, To me, a Ring doorbell is basically just so you can watch when people do steal your stuff. Does it? It never. Yeah. No one ever like, oh, here, it stopped this person from stealing my stuff. It was like, does anybody know who this person is? They stole my stuff. And I guess that is a selling point. You can at least see who stole your stuff.
That would make me even more mad.
I think it would make me mad, too. I guess maybe if you knew who it was.
I guess. Oh. And the Springfield police have arrested a man in connection to several theft investigations, including one at a trade show that happened in mid-October. 37-year-old Derek Wells faces charges of receiving stolen property, unlawful use of a weapon, possession of a controlled substance, tampering, and a felon in possession of a firearm. Wells is currently being held in the Greene County Jail without bond. And that's the latest news.
On the text line, someone texted, and I eat Fruity Pebbles with water because I can't have dairy either.
Hey, look, so I'm not weird. Oh,
well.
I mean, it is, you know, it does kind of suck, but hey, I'm not alone in the world.
Isn't there milk that's for lactose intolerant people?
Yes, but it's always upset my stomach still. Oh, it's and still I know upset. That probably isn't for everybody. I'm sure people can do the almond and soy and whatever. It's just always upset me.
I also ate Captain, I just remembered, Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries, and I would always save the Crunch Berries to last. I always save the best for last. My brother was the opposite. We would go, there used to be, when we lived in Lebanon, the strip mall across from Cornerstone Pizza, and the strip mall where Cornerstone Pizza used to be, actually, down a few, not buildings, but units. There was an ice cream parlor, and we would always get bubblegum ice cream. My brother would eat the bubblegum right away. I would take every single piece out, and I'd lay it on a napkin to save. But largely, I did that. I did the same thing with candy. We'd go pick out candy, you know, we'd get candy, and I would, like, keep mine until he ate all his. But I did it because there's something wrong with me. It was just because I wanted him to be tortured when his was gone, having to watch me eat mine. Isn't that twisted? So it was like I got double the pleasure, not only the pleasure of eating the candy, but knowing that he was watching me, thinking, I wish I still had some. I don't know. I'd like to think that I've changed. Maybe I haven't. What time is it? All right, we're going to take a break here. Trump was distracted by the election, and because he was distracted by the election, according to Deborah Birx, who was generally behind Fauci, not just physically on stage, but in terms of prominence in the media. She's claiming that Trump's team, and they were just so distracted by the election that 130,000 people died unnecessarily due to COVID. Oh, well, let's evaluate this coming up here in moments. I'm Nick Reed. Oh, we should tell people the Wienermobile.
Yes, this is the most important news of the day. The Wienermobile is going to be in Springfield tomorrow. Hold on. Let me look up all this info.
I like to throw things at you when you're not expecting it.
Nope, I got this. It's at like a very specific time, but it's going to be at the Dickerson Park Zoo. I almost wrote a story up on this. But then I was like, somebody's going to be like...
I wish they had a wiener gun and you could shoot raw wieners at animals for them to eat. That'd be fun.
Actually...
Wouldn't that be cool?
They're gonna feed like the cheetahs or something. I usually think the cheetahs are the lions, but they're going to feed them hot dogs. And they're going to have like a little display where you can watch it. Hold on.
Need to pay to get into the zoo to see that?
Yeah. Okay. So there's like the Wienermobile will be outside of the zoo, of course. Yeah. But they're going to have like all kinds of themed stuff throughout the day at the zoo.
Okay.
I believe it's from 9 to 11. I can't get my email to pull up, but I'm pretty sure it's 9 to 11. Don't quote me on that, but it's at the Dickerson Park Zoo.
Well, whatever it is, I know you plan on dragging me there.
Yes. It's going to be so fun. You know, I've seen so many people.
I'll go for a combination of reasons. One, because you're going to drag me there, but two, also Joey Powell over there, it's a friend. And so if I can show a little support to an event that I'm sure she's instrumental in creating, she does all her marketing and everything, then yeah, probably do that. Maybe get a hot dog.
Hold on. Here we go. Thursday, October 28th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And they're going to be offering $1 hot dogs at the cafe inside the zoo, 9:30 to 4 p.m. What? Oh. That sounds so good. A hot dog at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it does for us because we've been up forever. Somebody said they saw it in town yesterday, so it's driving around.
Yeah.
Drive-by wiener shootings. That's what I would do. That would be cool. You know, t-shirt cannons have wiener cannons. So, okay. I don't have anything more to say about that, do you?
No.
Okay.
Oh, whoa. No, I don't.
All right. So let's read this story here. This is the Washington Post. Trump administration was distracted by last year's election and ignored recommendations to curb the pandemic. The White House's former coronavirus response coordinator told congressional investigators this month. Deborah Birx, whom Trump chose to steer his government's virus response, said, quote, "I felt like the White House had gotten somewhat complacent through the campaign season." This according to interview excerpts released by the House Select Subcommittee on the Pandemic. Birx, who sat for interviews with the subcommittee on October 12th and 13th, also detailed advice that she said the White House ignored late last year, including more aggressively testing younger Americans, expanding access to virus treatments, and better distributing vaccine doses in long-term care facilities. You know what? Let me tell you, I just think that it's unsavory. These people that get out of any administration and then run around trying to rehabilitate their own reputation by saying, well, I told him this. There's something so uncouth about it. Something, it's just icky to me. It's icky to me, these people they get and they run around, they write books about presidents that are still alive, trashing on them. I just don't think that it's unsavory. It's unprofessional. It's juvenile to me. You know, if you're going to do something like that, and maybe I'm old school, you should just wait until the president's gone and dead and then write. And even then, it's like, really? Why are you doing this? It's not as if, particularly when it comes to Trump, you're providing any insight. Oh, you're going to accuse him of doing awful things. Oh, gosh. Oh, there's a real vacuum of books that do that already. Oh, thanks for contributing. And it's just money or trying to rehabilitate their own reputation. And Birx is no different. Well, I told him to do this. All right. More than 130,000 American lives could have been saved with swifter action and better coordinated public health messaging after the virus's first wave, she told investigators. Quote, "I believe if we had fully implemented the mask mandate, the reduction in indoor dining, the getting friends and family to understand the risk of gathering in private homes, and we had increased testing, that we probably could have decreased fatalities into the 30% less to 40% less range. With more than 735,000 Americans dying of coronavirus-related complications since the pandemic began, including more than 300,000 since Biden took office, those numbers would be roughly 130,000. Now, let me tell you, and this is typical journalism, particularly if it's journalism that is set up to once again focus on Trump, there is absolutely no evidence that she provides that indicates how she came to that number of 130,000. None. She doesn't talk about any sort of analysis or say, well, they did it here and this, and they had a lower rate, and we believe that. She's just like, well, I think probably, you know, 30%. No one says, what do you base that number on? No one says, what information have you compiled that brings you to the estimate that 130,000 people died because Trump was campaigning for president instead of out there, you know, doing things that you wanted him to do? How did you derive that number? Nobody expects that. I mean, she could have said any number she wanted and she wouldn't have been questioned on it. Birx earlier this year told reporters about the difficulty of responding to the pandemic during an election year. Asked to elaborate on her prior comments, she told the subcommittee that some officials were actively campaigning and not as present in the White House as previously. The election year just took people's time away from and distracted them from the pandemic, in my personal opinion. She did not name the officials. Now, here's what we do know during the election season. We want to talk about distractions. Trump had Fast and Furious underway. And it was because of that during the election, the vaccines that we're told are the only way that any of this is going to stop, they were developed under Trump. Now, during the same campaign season, you had Democrats saying, don't take those vaccines. You had media personalities bringing experts on saying, you cannot trust those vaccines. There's no way impossible. It is impossible that these vaccines will be safe if they were developed in that amount of time. You had people, Democrats, running around claiming that Trump was making that up. Even he knew that these vaccines could not be developed during that period of time, but he's just saying that in order to try to win re-election. So Trump, the guy who is responsible for the time frame, essentially, made it possible for those vaccines to be developed, we're told is the one that's responsible for up to 130,000 deaths because he was somehow distracted during the campaign. Well, if he was distracted during the campaign, he is a really good multitasker. This is just more of the same. While Biden is failing miserably in every column that has an impact on the average American person, hey, can we write another story that says, remember how bad Trump was? Even if we have to throw made-up numbers and not require any evidence as to where those numbers were derived. So now we get to run around claiming that Trump is responsible for 130,000 people dying without any information to back it up. It's just her ballpark figure. I mean, that seems like somebody who's legitimately focused on science, doesn't it? Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. All right, I've got to pause the commercials here to give you the keyword because I got talking about Burks and everything, and so it's a little more delayed. Try to get it as on time as possible. I don't even have it pulled up. I don't know what my deal is today. Just, you know, I'm really failing, y'all. Keyword is win14, W-I-N-1-4, win14. Text that in. It's all one word, W-I-N-1-4. Text that to 417-447-KSGF, and that will be your entry for another $1,000. I know a number of you have won, heard from you. This is your opportunity, once again, as it happens several times throughout the day. You text the word WIN14, the word and number, all together, WIN14, to 417-447-KSGF. You'll get a text back indicating that you are registered. You have until 9 o'clock this morning for that keyword. As you know, there were a number of Republicans that tried to sabotage Republican efforts to get Donald Trump elected and or reelected. Two of the more prominent of those individuals was Jeff Flake, who would end up abandoning his efforts in the primary to run for reelection as a U.S. Senator for Arizona because he was such an absolute failure and a traitor to his voters. The other, of course, Cindy McCain, the wife of late senator and presidential failure John McCain, who had a hand in passing around that fake Russian dossier in order to try and help Hillary Clinton get elected president. These are all gems of people. Well, Jeff Flake and Cindy McCain are reaping the rewards as they have been confirmed to the Biden administration. Former Arizona Senator Jeff Flake confirmed as a U.S. ambassador to Turkey, and Cindy McCain confirmed as the country's representative at the United Nations Agencies for Food and Agriculture. Both areas, I'm sure Flake has deep levels of expertise in the country of Turkey, and Cindy McCain, well, who doesn't think of food and agriculture when they think of her? Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. First alert forecast, scattered showers, thunderstorms today, breezy high of 60, showers, possibly a thunderstorm tonight with a low of 50, showers tomorrow, 50 for the high. So we're going to hit that tonight and just continue to hold on to that for tomorrow, Friday as well, with a 50% chance of showers. Friday Roadshow is coming up on Friday. It's also Heroes Breakfast, free breakfast for veterans as we broadcast live this Friday from 6A to 9A. That thanks to Scramblers. Air Services Heating, Cooling, All Service Plumbing, and Delta Roofing. The United States has issued its first passport with an X gender designation, a milestone in the recognition of the rights of people who don't identify as male as female. So here's a, this is a totally serious question. Why even have gender as an identifier on there if you just get to choose whatever one you are anyway? The whole point in having any information on any form of identification is to identify you. But if you get to choose what identification you are, then what is the point? So on your license, for example, at what color are your eyes? What is your weight? How tall are you? This is so you can be identified by it. If you got to pick, if your weight was simply a determination of whatever you wanted it to be, you know, I weigh 200, but I want to say 120. There'd be no point in putting it on there because it's irrelevant as an identifying factor. This is how stupid the people who run this country have become. And I'm not even talking about the context of allowing people to choose their gender. That aside, the stupid part is having something that can be anything at all, based on whatever the person wants it to be, put on an identifier as something that you are to be identified by. Because it's meaningless. I mean, the point of the passport is to say who you are. So somebody can look at it and go, okay, this person, here's their picture, first of all. They're also a male. They were born in this time. So here we know that, you know, the about their age, height and all that stuff. And, you know, passport has different information than driver's license do. But it's all for identifying purposes. So if I'm what is traditionally a man, look like I look, but I get to just, you know, pick whatever gender or identify as not being any gender, then it's meaningless for its purpose. If we are going to use papers that are meant to identify us so other people can identify us, we are going to use those to put personal preferences on there, then we might as well put what's your favorite song, what's your favorite movie, what's your favorite food, what's your favorite first date like, because those are all personal preferences that do absolutely nothing to be able to visually identify you. So might as well, if that's the route we're going. It's just the level of stupidity. We have been on the downhill slope in terms of intellectualism for a very long time in this country, or in this world, rather, this country as well. What I fear is what it's going to be like 10 years from now. At some point, you think, can we get any more stupid? And then something happens, and you go, evidently so. We're in the, you got all these eras, you know, the industrial era, the Renaissance era. We need the, I think we're in the hold my beer era. Where just when you think, well, I can't get any stupider than this, you get some lefty in particular that gets a position in government and like, hold my beer. Or spritzer. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell yesterday endorsed former NFL star Herschel Walker's bid for a U.S. Senate seat in Georgia, a key battleground state the GOP hopes to flip from blue to red in next year's midterm election. In doing so, McConnell joins Trump in backing Walker. McConnell's move comes amid a nearly year-long war of words between the two GOP giants over Trump's repeated emphasis on relitigating his 2020 election loss to now President Biden and his numerous calls for McConnell to be ousted as Senate Republican leader. The senator's endorsement, which was shared first with Fox News and Politico, signals the GOP Senate leadership, and with it, much of the party's establishment in the nation's capital, is rallying around Walker's bid to challenge Democrat incumbent U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock, who is accused of abusing his wife by his ex-wife. Again, Me Too movement. Believe the victims. That was ushered out. So McConnell said, I'm happy to endorse Walker for the U.S. Senate in Georgia. Herschel is the only one who can unite the party, defeat Warnock, and help us take back the Senate. I look forward to working with Herschel in Washington to get the job done. So we are about to see once again, and it's already been happening to some degree, Democrats demonstrate that not all black lives actually matter. In fact, some of them should be trashed relentlessly. Coming up, there's a new book that Adam Schiff has coming out. And part of his book, which is titled, I can't wait to see how no one buys this, Midnight in Washington, How We Almost Lost Our Democracy and Still Could. He talks about how heartbroken he was to realize that Robert Mueller had such clear and obvious cognitive decline during the period of time that he was supposed to be investigating Trump. Now, this may seem like some sort of coming to Jesus moment, an acknowledgement that Robert Mueller, this guy that we had all been told was just solid as a rock, the point person of morality, above board, unaffected by politics in every degree, all of a sudden Democrats are admitting, actually, the guy didn't even hardly know what was going on. As always, there is a manipulative reason that I believe this admission by Schiff is being made. So we'll have that here in just about 2 minutes. I'm Nick Reed. Okay, Schiff, heartbroken by Mueller's decline during the Russia probe. This was not the Bob Mueller I knew. Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat, California, said in his new book it was heartbreaking to witness Robert Mueller's mental state during his 2019 testimony on the Russia probe. Mueller, 77, was appointed special counsel in May of 2017 to oversee an investigation into allegations of Russian interference into the 2016 U.S. presidential election. And, of course, this, remember the whole buildup. The whole time the investigation was going on, Adam Schiff was talking about, you just wait, smoking gun, Trump colluded with the Russians. And this was probably the single biggest disappointment for Democrats during the Trump era, is that Mueller concluded that there was no collusion that occurred. They couldn't even find anything that you could possibly make look like collusion. He writes in his new book that Special Counsel Mueller was not the Bob Mueller I knew. Schiff, chair of the House Intelligence Committee, said in his new book, Midnight in Washington, How We Almost Lost Our Democracy and Still Could, said he regretted pushing for Mueller's testimony after seeing it firsthand. It was heartbreaking to see Mueller, this person whom I'd admire, having difficulty answering some of the most basic questions. Even on a bad day, Mueller had been capable of performing better than 99% of the witnesses I had heard testify in my decades of public service. 2 years had brought a striking change, and I suddenly understood not only his own reluctance to testify, but the protective instincts of his dedicated staff. Had I known how much it had changed, I would not have pursued his testimony with such vigor. In fact, I would not have pursued it at all. So this is essentially declaring that major disappointment that proved after 2 years of investigating there was no conclusion, or there was no collusion, rather, between Trump allies and Russia to rig the election. That whole investigation didn't count. See, that's the point here. This is the one area that, while they still want to falsely claim that there was some sort of Russia collusion, that is just, you know, it's a big sticking point. Well, you all had 2 years of investigating. 2 years. An investigation which Trump, from the very beginning, in an unprecedented way, said, answer, just do your investigation, cooperated with it. 2 years, couldn't find anything. So that was always it's a real sticking point in history. Unless it doesn't count, of course, see. Well, you know, Mueller, we now know he didn't have cognitive ability. We saw now why it was that the people that were surrounding him, his folks that were advisors and handlers, why they were trying to keep him out of the public eye. Now we know why, because he really wasn't all there. So then, of course, somebody like that could not be expected to carry out a full and effective investigation, right? So this would be under the chapter heading, The Investigation That Just Didn't Count. I find it interesting, as a side note, his description of Mueller and the way that Mueller is handled by his people who knew that he was dealing with some sort of senility is essentially a cut-and-paste description of how Biden's people treat him. I mean, listen to this. You could easily put Joe Biden in place of Robert Mueller when he said, "This was not the Mueller I knew. 2 years had brought a striking change. I suddenly understood not only his own reluctance to testify, but the protective instincts of his dedicated staff." Does that not totally and completely describe Joe Biden? So here Adam Schiff, who of course is a huge Biden supporter, as a loyal member of the Democrat Party, is essentially declaring, this is the point here, that Mueller and his work cannot be trusted as being valid, as being legitimate, because Mueller wasn't in the right state of mind. We know that because this is how he was behaving. We also know that because this is how his staff handlers were handling him. Yet it's the mirror image of what Biden is going through and being, and the way that he's being dealt. If we aren't supposed to have any faith or confidence in Robert Mueller, as he did the investigation because of his cognitive decline, how can these same people claim that we should have trust and confidence in Biden when Biden is a mirror image of what Robert Mueller was during that period of time? Well, I think we all know the answer to that. We can't have that confidence. And more Americans, according to poll after poll after poll, are admitting that. On Tuesday's broadcast, CNN's New Day, this is just perfect. I was going to say that outfits like CNN let these people get away with, but this is the whole point, isn't it? Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin responded to a question on how Democrats are addressing concerns about the economy and inflation by stating he wished reporting would mention that the reconciliation bill is paid for. During the discussion on the spending bill, co-host John Berman asked, "How are Democrats addressing what are growing concerns amongst the American people about the economy, but B, about inflation and prices just getting out of this pandemic?" And he said, "Well, I wish the reporting would include the fact, as the president said in his visit to New Jersey, we're paying for all this." What is the reason that there is no spending bill on Biden's desk? What is the reason? What is every sticking point regarding? Every time Manchin and Sanders or AOC or Pelosi, or they go to the White House or they gather in an office, what are they talking about every time? They're talking about the cost of it. That's what it's all about. So on one hand, the entire reason that this massive Build Back BS bill hasn't been put together, voted on, and sent to Biden's desk is because they can't agree on how to pay for it. This is why they keep changing. The most recent revelation was this, the capital gains wealth tax. You know, they keep changing what the tax is going to be because they don't agree on how to pay for it. But then they go around complaining that the media is just not covering the fact that this thing's paid for. It's not going to cost anything at all. It's all paid for. If it's all paid for, then there would not be a problem with it. CNN, why even bother to pretend any longer? Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Former Hillary Clinton aide Huma Abedin claims in her new book she was sexually assaulted by a U.S. senator in the mid-2000s. According to the New York Post, Abedin doesn't name the alleged offender, but says in her upcoming memoir, Both and A Life in Many Words, it's both, B-O-T-H forward slash and, A Life in Many Words, that she blocked out the incident, and the memories finally came back during Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearing, you know, when he was falsely accused. These people are so depraved. Huma, don't you know the Me Too movement era is over? You are no longer to be believed. Ask the accuser of then-Senator Joe Biden. She claims a sexual assault happened following a dinner she attended with a group of senators, saying, I ended up walking out with one of the senators. We soon stopped in front of his building. He invited me in for coffee. Once inside, he told me to make myself comfortable on the couch. She then details how the man began to push her back on the couch before forcing himself on top of her. She said, I was shocked. I pushed him away. All I wanted to do for the last 10 seconds to be erased. Following the incident, she claimed that the unnamed senator said that he misread her and asked if she wanted to stay the night. She said, I said something only the 20-something version of me would have come up with. I said, I'm so sorry, and walked out trying to appear as nonchalant as possible. She said in her memoir, she buried the incident so deep that it wasn't until 2018 that the memory resurfaced following what would prove to be false allegations against Brett Kavanaugh, though, of course, she doesn't refer to the accusations against Kavanaugh as being fake. Well, why don't you name the senator? Why protect him? I mean, that's a totally legit question, right? Was that not the whole Me Too movement era? I know that with Democrats ushering in Biden, they put a nail in that coffin, but wasn't that it? It was about not protecting these people any longer by keeping their names hidden. Wasn't it this idea that the only way it was going to stop is if those predators feared being outed? For Huma Abedin to have been sexually assaulted by a U.S. senator and not out that individual, that helps predators. That contributes to the problem, not the solution. Of course, who knows? I guess it could have been Biden. It could have been. Let's see, what year was that? She said she was in her 20s. And I'm guessing. So, she was sexually assaulted by a U.S. senator in the mid-2000s. Yeah, so Biden would have been a senator. So it could very well have been Biden. In fact, if you're trying to figure out why it is that she wouldn't name the individual, that could potentially be a reason, because he's the president of the United States, and she saw the treatment that Tara Reid, one of his other survivors, received from the media and from the Democrat Party. Dismissed, ignored, accused of being a liar. We were told she shouldn't be believed. She was discredited. All of the reasons that we've been told in the past, women don't come forward, all of that was thrown at her. So maybe Biden is the sexual predator that she was referencing here. Speaking of sexual predator, so Joe Biden, he was at an event I mentioned a few days ago, and at that event, without a mask, he coughed into his hand and then immediately took his outstretched hand over to people and started touching them with it, shaking their hands. I think that's a CDC recommendation, that that's how you do it. So he was at a rally for Terry McAuliffe in Virginia, where, among other people, he praised as his buddy, The current governor, who, as you know, wore blackface on numerous occasions, lied about it. But then when it was shown that he actually did wear blackface, he said, "Don't you remember I'm a Democrat?" And they said, "Oh, okay, that's all right." Afterwards, Biden, once again without a mask, goes down to the crowd of people talking, I mean, so close. And at one point, you can see, we'll get this video up. He's talking to this woman so close, he spits on her face. Now, that's the spit you can see. So for all of the people that tell you to wear a mask, even if you're vaccinated, the guy we're supposed to listen to the most is spitting on people's faces at campaign events. Glenn Beck's coming up next. I'm Nick Reed. Talk to you tomorrow.